Welcome to the As the Leader Grows podcast. I am your host, Ken Jocelyn, former pastor turned coach and host of Create, the number one faith-based entrepreneur conference in America. And my mission is to help faith-based entrepreneurs become the best version of themselves by growing in what I call our core five: faith, health, relationships, business, and finances. We do that in a couple ways: in our weekly GSD collective meetings, our quarterly mastermind that meets around the country, and our annual Create Conference that I host in Atlanta every January. Remember, the world deserves the best version of you. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of As the Leader Grows. Man, have I got a treat for you. She's already laughing. I just literally told her off air. I'm like, girl, I love you. You are like one of the most life-giving human beings on the planet. My good friend, you guys know her as Coach Darlene Santori. Listen, if we can get her to say chocolate or say some words, you will recognize really quick what part of the country she's from. What's up, my friend?
Hi, my brother. So good to see you.
It's good to see you as well. Tell our audience real quick a little bit about you and about what you've got going on and all the amazing things that, man, you're doing in the world right now.
You know, so often when I get asked, you know, like, what do you do? The other day, my friend goes, you know what you do? You're a hope dealer. I was like, ooh, I like that. So yeah. I'm a hope dealer.
I love that.
I'm a therapist by background. And I started out in the hospital taking care of traumatic brain injured and stroke patients, neuroscience, neuropsychology. That's my whole background. I love the study of the brain and human behavior. So I'm a licensed therapist and I've been helping people for the past 27 years and really helping them build their resiliency, be at their highest level. And I helped people in the hospital in the most extreme cases. And then I went back to school for business because I wanted to fix healthcare, which is silly, I know. But I was the catalyst for that was when I was 25. I had shared this with you before, but I had suffered a stroke. So I'd gone to see a chiropractor. And when they manipulated my neck, they ripped the artery to my brain. And the long and short of that is it left me with a blood clot. And at 25, I was ready to start my life, everything that you could think you want, the American dream. And I was told I could die any day because of this blood clot. And I was like, no, that's the patients I take care of. That's not me. Right. So I had to deal and wrestle with that. And I definitely didn't really deal with that. I kind of just pushed through it. And I was like, well, I'm going back to school for business and I'm going to go change the world. And I tried and I was running multiple companies and at an early age. And then when the recession hit in 2008, I was like, I'm going to go start my own practice because people were losing their mind. I mean, they were losing money. They were losing their homes. We hit the recession. And I was like, I can't watch this. I have to go help people. My father's like, is this the damn stroke speaking? Because no one starts a business in the middle of recession, especially when you need health insurance and you have a lucrative salary. And what are you doing? I was like, but that for me, Ken, was when it was like a calling. It was for sure. If I could help people with some of their mental faculties messed up, I could surely help someone like you, me, and anyone. Well, I don't know if I have all my mental faculties, but I could help most people overcome odds. I know the tools, like I'm trained for this. So I was just so passionate. I was like, no, I have the tools. I could help people. And so I started my own practice and I was speaking for free. It didn't matter if it was a library. It didn't matter if it was a country club, a restaurant, wherever I could get people together. And I started speaking on mindset. So I want people to understand this is like Elon Musk saying, we're going to have a self-driving car. People were like, what do you mean if we work on this? Now everyone talks about mental edge and mindset and all mental wellness, not then. And so I was definitely going uphill for sure, but it didn't matter. I was so passionate and it's led me today.
I want to go back to your story real quick. Cause I remember you sharing this story with me. We got connected to our good friend, Randy Garn, and we were spent some time together and you were kind of processing through the story. So you just packed your car up in your hometown and you just left and you told your dad you were going where?
Nashville, Tennessee.
And he asked you, where are you going to stay? And you told him.
I didn't know. I said, I have no idea. Now, I had friends there, but I didn't want to burden them. And I was like, I'm going to figure out when I get there. And you have to, for people listening that are entrepreneurs, I had, you know, the six-figure salary. I had all of it, and I gave it up, and I put my stuff in a car. And I was like, after I'd been starting this practice in Connecticut, I was like, I'm going to Nashville. This is where I'm doing this. So, and I had no idea where I was going to live because I've just said, I'm going to figure it out as I go. And my father, my family, they really were like, she has lost. And I can't find my way out of a parking lot directionally. And they were like, she's going to go down to Nashville and figure this out. And God let me, I did.
And walk through the story. I mean, the whole story of how you even found a place to stay and the family that you stayed. It is absolutely unbelievable because you took a risk and followed what God put in your heart.
Truly. And my faith was really growing prior to that. I mean, I grew up in the Catholic Church, but this is where it was, honestly, you know, when you let it in and that spirit's like, oh, ring a ding ding, we got one. She is on. And so it was literally for me where it was like, Jesus, drop your nets and follow. You know, I'm reading this. I'm like, and it just came to me. I was praying. I'm like, what would you like me to do? How would you like me to lead better? How do I be? And I had great mentors. So when I packed up my car to go and I didn't know, I knew I was going to make my way through Kentucky at some point. And by the way, when I stopped at one point to West Virginia, it was so dark. And I just said, God, let it be a safe place for me to stay. And sure enough, I come around the corner, it's pitch black, and there is a hotel lit up like a Christmas tree. And it looks beautiful. And I'm like, I don't know if I could afford this. What is this beautiful place? And sure heck, it was like $99. I was like, really? It was great. Affordable, beautiful. I wanted to stay there, but I had to go on. So my point was, first thing was I was safe and I had a great place. Then I get to Kentucky because I know I'm going to visit my cousin there. And he's a horse trainer. And he happens to be working for a family in Nashville, Tennessee. And so when I said to him, oh, I don't know where I'm going to stay, the woman happens to be there that he's working for from Nashville. And she says, oh, why don't you stay? I have a barn because my horse manager is going to be down in Florida during that time. So I'll have a place if you want to stay a few months. Don't worry about it. Just get yourself settled. So I was like, sure. Thank you so much. Now, I didn't know who this woman was. All I knew at this point, Ken, is I was going to Franklin, Tennessee specifically, and I was going to be staying above a barn in an apartment. So I call my family. Okay, well, I have a place to stay. And my father says, where? He said, above a barn. My father is like, what? I was like, yeah, I'm going above a barn. And so I didn't know what I was about to pull up to, but I thought, hey, you know what? It's good enough for the horses. Jesus was in a stable. This is hilarious. This is great. I was born on Christmas too, by the way. You know, I just figured go where there's a stable, a manger.
And so you get there, walk us through driving to, you have no idea. Like you hear barn, you think, okay.
A barn. Like literally a little bed.
My living room floor is going to be, hey, what does this look like?
I literally was thinking, yeah. And all of a sudden I'm pulling down the street and I start looking and I see a few different music artists standing outside their house and I'm driving down the street and all these houses are gated and mansions, beautiful. I get to the gate of the address and I'm like, I have to put in a gate code. And so I put in this gate code and all of a sudden the doors open up and it is the most amazing property. And this family is a very well-known family in Tennessee and they live on this, I don't even know how many acres with two polo fields and a beautiful Southern home. And the barn looks bigger than the house that I grew up in. And I go up above the barn and it's this one bedroom apartment that looks like a Ralph Lauren suite. It is so beautiful. And I get to wake up every morning to seven Clydesdale looking horses as they go out on the field. And that's where I got to live for 4 months. That was the start of God going, I have got you.
Yeah,
thank you for saying yes. And it just continued like that.
Yeah. What did you, in those early moments for you, what did you learn about obedience? Like when God spoke to you and you felt like, okay, this is what I need to do.
Walk me through what you learned about being obedient to his voice.
I had learned real quick prior that my way was not necessarily the best way. So when I started to really step out and I really started to learn that when you follow in God's obedience, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy or perfect, but he is going to provide you these treasures. And I call it God winks. That's going to remind you it's okay. And I've got you. And it's kind of like there was a meme of a little boy that wanted this teddy bear from someone and he's grabbing it, but it's small. And God is sitting there going, no, I have something better for you. But the kid just wants what's immediately in front of him. And he's like, if you would just wait, I have something more for you. That's exactly how obedience has looked for me, where sometimes you're like, I just want this right now. And he's like, hold on, because what I'm about to give you is even better. And that's how this has progressed my whole life with him, where every time I trust in the Lord, he continues to provide for me. I mean, it's been, I've had three strokes along the way. I've lost both my parents. You know, I went from having nothing to having to not having, and then COVID hits and it wipes everything out. And then my third stroke is just before that, which took a major hit on me. And my point was, is God redeemed it. I got over those and then business came back like triple fold. And so
let me ask you a question really quick, because I want to stop right there for a second. We'll pick this up. You talk a lot about resiliency. You just named some amazing things that happened in your life, but then you just talked about, and we've had private conversations about the three strokes that you had. I mean, you're doing great and things are rocking and rolling and you're making an impact and God's doing all these things. And then you have a third stroke right before COVID. Mm-hmm. Like, walk me through, like, where was, like, when that happened and you realized, I'm sure you knew as it was happening, walk me through what was going on in your mind when that happened.
Just prior to that, I was the Phoenix Suns mental skills coach. Like everything was like going on all cylinders. It was top of my game. Everything's going amazing. I'm thanking God because it's a lot of work doing what I do. And you know, like any entrepreneur, you're building and building and building and you're like, I've got it. This is great. Then all of a sudden the season ends and I get a migraine on a Monday. And by Friday, it is the worst pain I'd ever felt. And when I came out of a meeting, I'm staggering. I know what's going on. Mm. And when I go to the hospital, I'm sitting there in the hospital by myself. And my mom had just had a stroke a month before. So I didn't want to stress her out. So I'm sitting there by myself going, wow, if this goes really bad or if I die, no one's going to know. Wow. And then I just thought, God, like, I actually said, like, please just take me completely, take me home, but don't let me be paralyzed or drooling or in a place where I can't function. Like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And it was the worst stroke out of all of them. I wasn't paralyzed, but I for sure could not use my hands the way I used to. I couldn't read. I was in the middle of trying to write a book. I couldn't walk well. I lost my speech. I couldn't say the words I wanted to. And I had to do all my own rehab that summer. And I remember that summer specifically, Ken, because after you have strokes, you could get depression because it messes with your head. And I just remember getting so sad at one point where I was like, I feel so lonely. I feel so alone and I'm doing this by myself again. And I'm like, God, I need you. Like, I can't do this on my own. And he just said, get up. And I was like, so wouldn't you know that I was supposed to speak at a faith and sports conference. And that's where John, my good buddy, you know, John Gordon, he's there. Kelly Masters. There's a few people that we all know. And I'm like, I'm going to go speak at this conference in Atlanta, which meant I had to go. My speech was not right. My balance wasn't right. But I was like, I'm going. And just by getting back into doing what he's called me to do every day, he gave me more strength. And I had to be obedient by just getting up serving. Because here's what I learned. Our life is not about us. If Jesus has been tested in his whole walk, why would we not be tested? And we're going to continue to be tested. And I thought, darn, this life isn't about you. it's not about any of us. It is about us serving God's mission. And that's going to look different for every person with different challenges. So it was like I got real with myself, given my own pep talk, where I'm sitting there saying, yeah, I said talk.
Love it, girl.
I was giving my own pep talk and I was like, this isn't about you. And no matter what happens, if you're in a wheelchair, if you can't speak, if he still has you here, he still needs you. It's not about you.
So good.
It's about the mission to serve.
So now you take, I mean, man, it's not just this. You have a degree in psychology and you're a licensed therapist. It's not even about all that, but your life experience has taught you about resilience.
Oh, gosh.
What are some of the things walking through those processes and those seasons in your life that some of the things you did to be resilient, to learn resiliency? So now you can take the lesson you learned personally, not something you read in a textbook or you're taking what you read in a textbook and you're also putting, man, I've lived this.
Yeah.
Like walk us through what resiliency means to you and how you take that and teach some of the highest performing professional athletes in the world.
So what's interesting is being an occupational therapist, my job was to help these patients literally dig in and be resilient. I had to help them be resilient. That was my role. And then I saw my mother, who had a triple bypass at 40 years old and 10 surgeries by the time till she passed. That woman got up every single day, every day, did not complain and said, if God still has me here, then we still have a plan. And she just worked through it. And so I taught it, learned it, saw it, and then I had to experience it for myself. But here's what I learned, that the power of your mind really determines if propels you forward or pulls you back based on what you feel it. And so I could, like we've heard, I could be a victim in this or I could be a victor. What am I going to do with it? So by the third stroke, by all this happening, I was like, I've got to reframe this. And so everything is reframing. Everything is shifting perspective. Everything is saying, okay, now what? Deal with the emotion of it, but then say to yourself, now what? Because we have to do something. To just sit in despair is not going to help us, and we have to get into momentum. So part of resilience is once you embrace the suck of it, once you experience it, you get it all out and you deal with it. Now, guess what? It's game time. We could do something with that. But the moment you don't want to deal with it and the moment you don't recognize it as what it is, we can't do anything with it. So I tell all the players, CEOs, entrepreneurs I work with, when we hit something, I go, great, give it all to me. Get it out. Let's talk about it. We're going to embrace the suck of it. Yes, it's not how we want it. Get it out. But now what? Now what are we going to do? Because it's not about us. It's about the mission we were called. Let's go.
I love that. So out of all of that, you're circling around and you wrote a best-selling book called The Art of Bouncing Back. Walk us through the kind of the origin story of a book.
Yeah.
Like, where was it? When were you? When you were like, I need to write a book.
This is so funny. So when it started way back first and second grade, I was pulled out of school because I could not process fast enough reading. So I had to be taken out of class into a special class with the tutor, this teacher who literally shaped my life. She turned it around and she helped me read and love books. So I became this bookworm where then my mom planted seeds. This is a power of planting seeds. And she says to me, someday, Dar, you're going to write a book. And we love this little bookstore in a town close by that she worked. And it's so cute. And she said, someday your book's going to be there and I'm going to be the first to buy it. Well, that obviously was planted. So that 2012 comes around and I said, Mom, I decided I'm going to start writing. I don't know what yet, but I'm learning. I'm taking workshops. She's like, great. I'm going to be the first to buy your book. So I'm doing that. And as time goes on, it gets busy. 2018 comes and I said, okay, I'm going to write about awakening greatness. Clear as day to me. I work with the greats. I study the patterns of the greats. I'm going to write about this. Well, try to go write about this. I get it all put out. I hire like an independent publisher because I'm thinking no one knows me as an author yet. So I'm just going to get a hybrid independent publisher and put it out. Well, then I'm my third stroke after that. and it goes sideways. And now the deal falls apart and I can't even read, Ken. I can't even look at a piece of paper.
Wow.
And I am down. And so that's when, go into 2019, my mom passes and I'm like, this is, forget this. 2020 happens, 2019 into 2020. 2020 is happening. We know what happens there. But just before that, my sports agent calls me and she says to me, why are you putting God in the corner? I said, what are you talking about? She says, why are you putting God in the corner? You are supposed to write a book and it is going to be published. And I said, Kelly, I literally can't get this done. It's so hard for me mentally after this stroke. And I don't even have a literary agent. Like, and how am I going to get published? She says, you're putting God in a box and you put him in a corner and it is time for you to get out of that corner so God can use you. And I was like, well, then God's got to show me a sign because I don't know what I'm doing. Wouldn't you know, Ken? Not even 2 weeks later, I get a call from a literary agent. And she's like, I was just at the NBA All-Star game and I heard your name. And then I was at another event. She goes, who's this Coach Darks? I was looking for who the females are that does this. She says, I want to give you a chance on writing your first book. Wow. I don't normally take a chance on first-time authors. So we sat down, I got with someone and we wrote out what would become The Art of Bouncing Back. And it's a formula I have used. I didn't realize I had a formula. That's the thing. I just know what I do to help people. And then when I sat down, I was like, oh, this is it.
We actually have a frame, some framework for this. I was in a meeting. I was in a dinner with a bunch of pastors, church planters, about 12 or 15 of us, back around 2008-ish. And we were with Craig Rochelle, Pastor's Life Church. It's the largest church in America. We're with Craig. We're having dinner. And I'll never forget he said this. And I would love for you to speak to this. He said, guys, everyone wants to have a lot of influence. Everyone wants to make impact. And here you are, you've got all these young guys. I think my church was less than a year old. We had maybe a couple guys that had churches that were 2 years old, but we had all started churches from scratch. And he said, guys, he goes, never forget your level of impact and influence will always be equal to your ability to tolerate pain. What? And I know, right? And I've never forgotten it. That's been 15 years ago.
Goosebumps.
Your level of influence and impact will always equal your ability to tolerate pain.
Wow.
And you walk through, darling, you walk through all of these strokes and all of the stuff and packing up your car. And so as you walked through those things, what was it that gave you the strength to keep, nope, not going to quit. And you just kept going and going.
I think a couple of things. Once is when I really gave myself to the Lord. Mm. I gave myself to the Lord. Like it started to bring tears to my eyes because I don't want to do life without him. Lord, no, it's hard enough with it. It's harder without him. And I committed. And I, you know, when I say yes, I'm committed. Like I am committed. So I said, whatever we have to do, like how long are we going to see this through? And then I also feel committed to my parents. Mm. Like we had nothing, you know, it was so hard growing up that I just want to make for, they worked hard so we could have a better life. And it's just, I want to make them proud of the work they did. So it doesn't fall on, you know, deaf ears and I just want to be able to make a change for my family and make an impact.
So the book, talk to me about the book. The book's out. Where can we find the book?
You could find the book at Amazon. You can go to coachstar.com, Barnes and Noble, The Art of Bouncing Back. And if you go to coachstar.com, it's got all of my social links, ways to connect with me, buy the book. All of it's right there.
Tell me what's one thing on your heart right now. Again, you work with a lot of, the highest performing professional athletes in the world. What's on your heart right now you haven't really shared with anybody?
I think I want people to know that there's a lot of people hurting. Mm-hmm. And from even the top athletes that you would never know, CEOs, everyone is hurting in some way. And so this world gets lonely and it gets hard, and we're going to need each other. So this is about us working together and loving each other better. And that starts by us all making sure we're taking care of ourselves and we're doing the work that we need to. For everyone listening, do the work. Do the work on yourself so you could be the best version, because the only way we're going to get better or even want to be around other people is if you do the work. It's hard when you're around someone who doesn't want to do the work. You've got to do the work. So everyone, dig in, do the work to be the best version of yourself. Stay humble, admit when you've tripped up. We're all human, but get back in the race every day. Love on people and just know everyone is going through challenges. And the only way we're going to make it better is by us helping ourselves, by having faith and leaning on each other and showing up better in this world.
I love that. The Coach Dar, ladies and gentlemen. Check her out on Instagram, The Coach Dar. That's D-A-R, just in case you guys didn't know. The Art of Bouncing Back. You can go to the Coach Dar. Is it thecoachdar.com or just Coach Dar?
Instagram is The Coach Dar, and then the website's just coachdar.com.
Yep, coachdar.com. Check her out, guys. Get a copy of her book. She has an unbelievable, unbelievable story. She's making an impact at such a high level. Last thoughts, Dar?
Just grateful. Very grateful. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Gratitude's a huge part of being able to make it through difficult moments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gratitude and great friendships.
Yes. Both today.
Yes. And God, good. He's so good. Well, listen, thanks for joining us. Guys, thanks for joining us on another episode of As the Leader Grows. Listen, a couple of things. If this episode has added value to you, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to ask you to hit that subscribe button. Then I'm going to ask you to go over and leave us a 5-star review. If you're listening to this on your phone, snap a screenshot, tag myself, tag Coach Dar. We'll give you a little love in front of our audience as well. And until next time, we'll see you on As the Leader Grows. Thank you for joining us for another episode of As the Leader Grows. Listen, the best way that you can thank me is by sharing this episode on your social media, on Facebook and Instagram. Tag me when you share. Also, thank you from the bottom of my heart for being a part of this amazing community. If you want to learn more about GSD, you can do that on our free Facebook group. The link is in the show notes. I'll see you on the next episode.